You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK. Welcome to the first AHDB Bork podcast. I'm Miriam Drewitt, Marketing Communications Manager, and I'll be hosting the show. Today we'll be focusing on water. We'll be hearing from Andrew Palmer, one of our Knowledge Exchange Managers, about some of the work we're doing on farm. We'll also be looking at the importance and impact of cleaning water systems on pig performance with Sunita Markham from our Environment and Buildings team and Tulip Fieldsman Mark Jagger. Finally, we'll take a quick look at the outlook for pig prices and feed costs with Bethan Wilkins, one of our analysts. So to kick things off, we're going to hear from Sunita and Mark Jagger.
Hi, I'm Sunita Markham and I'm the Environment and Buildings Officer at AHDB. The Environment and Buildings team contributes to the delivery and communication of activity which links agriculture with environmental protection. Although activities and trials primarily focus on the pig sector, it also covers house livestock production in general. A significant project for the Environment and Buildings team is developing the network of strategic farms, helping to provide technical input and support to both farmers involved and those interested. So far, strategic farms have focused on improving infrastructure in water systems and understanding the importance of good quality drinking water. Adequate, good quality drinking water is essential for meeting welfare legislation and achieving optimum physical performance. Not only is it really important to ensure pigs are getting access to the correct amount of clean water, but water can be used as a delivery method for medicine, vaccines and other treatment. This is a great alternative to in-feed medication or injection, and therefore ensuring your water system is in a fit state is really important. Today we are speaking to Mark Jagger, a fieldsman with Tulip, who has worked in the UK pig industry for over 30 years, in all areas from farrowing through to finishing. Most recently, he's made water his mission.
Thank you for your time today, Mark. Perhaps we can start with you just giving us a bit of background about yourself and what you've been doing with Tulip, what you've changed and why.
Okay, thank you very much, Sunita. I've been with Tulip 25 years and historically I was a fieldsman on the growing side for 23 years of that. The last 2 years, we Tulip invested on our growing partner farms, a thing called a select doser, which is basically a peristaltic pump that monitors how quickly water flow is going down the water line. And we'll then put a product into the water line at whatever calibration you set it or ratio you set it. So you can set the system to run at 1 litre going in every 33 litres, right the way through to 1 litre going in to every 25,000 litres of water that goes down the pipe. So that you can use many different products using this particular system. And we put them on all the old farms, so some farms that are 30 odd years old. And we chose this machine because prior to that, we were using header tanks for medication. And you've got no pressure with header tanks. So actually, this machine doesn't require pressure where a medicator or a dosatron does. This machine doesn't. All it requires is electric to actually calculate how much flow is going down the waterline. So I've fitted in excess of 200 of these systems across the farms.
Thank you, Mark. Have you seen an improvement then with the pig's performance and the general maintenance of systems? Has it been a little bit easier with this implementation?
I think your first question, have we seen improvement? Yes, we have seen improvement in many ways. It's probably in a two-pronged improvement. The first one is, did the medicine work? And yes, it did. It worked quicker. What we found was we were actually reducing how many days we were having to medicate the pigs because the meds seemed to, because it was going in at the correct levels, it went down the line immediately at the correct level for the pig, So they were getting the correct dose, where maybe when we were putting in the header tank, maybe it settles out or whatever. We're not quite sure. But that was going specifically to the level that the pig required. So we were first and foremost seeing a quicker response time. And also, because it was a better response, some meds we could curve back or pull back from 7-day course to a 5-day course and get the same response. So our antibiotic usage drops accordingly as well, which it does matter now in the modern way of looking at things. The other prong to this was probably I was the first person to actually cut straight into a water line on a piggery that was a few years old. And the shock that I saw in there with bioblooms, deposits of iron and all that side of things meant that we pretty much immediately within week one of starting this project, we realized that we had another problem on farm. And that was probably not very clean water lines that were delivering product to our pigs. So we immediately then started tackling that one. And as you rightly say, have made it somewhat of a mission. And my mission has been more actually to actually get the water lines of the UK piggeries clean.
Okay. So with the cleaning, have you got a regime in place and how often do you do this?
Yes, we use a product, I don't want to advertise, but we use a product called Huasan. And the reason we plumbed for that one was it importantly dissolves bioblooms and dissolves solid deposits, and so they still pass through the drinker nipple. So we start at the end of the batch by doing what we call terminal disinfection, and we put the Huasan down the water line at 100 to 1, so that's 1 liter going down in every 100 liters, and we leave it and we draw it down to the very drinker nipples, every individual drinker nipple, every individual drinking point. And if you've got areas that are actually sort of a stop where you've got a tap, we'll pull it down to the tap as well. So the whole of that pipeline is covered in the Huasan. Leave it there for 24 hours, and then we will pull it out of the line. And it's quite surprising how much black sludge comes out and all the rest. As we pull it out the line, what we generally then do is put the water in at a drinking rate of 25,000 to 1. And that does two things. One is it maintains cleanliness of the line, but as pigs drink on the drinker nipple, if you imagine your baby pigs coming in newly weaned, it's giving them sterile water, very much like we do with our own human children, where we sterilize the bottles and sterilize the water that they drink in the milk. So it's not science that's making us do this. It's just common sense in a way. Now, what we've done is anyone who's got a borehole, we actually ask them to use this constant dosing right the way through the batch. Just in case you are pulling any salmonellas or E. coli's out of the floor, it kills them before they get to your pigs. So it's we're seeing from doing this a reduction in having to use enteric products. So we're seeing a reduction in scour on farm. It doesn't stop, though. If the pigs come in scouring, it won't cure them, but it will help buffer certain bacteria that are in your line and kill them off.
Okay, so that you've highlighted, it's quite important to identify the issues you have in your current system before you add anything extra like a dosing system. But how would you go about checking whether the line delivers sufficient water flow rates?
We're lucky that we have some farms that actually monitor their water on a daily basis, and it's actually every 2 minutes it's monitored. And what I did was I looked at a farm that had 2,000 pigs on it and looked at the point of the day when they're drinking the most, which is usually around 3:30 in the afternoon. And I knew that that farm at week 15, so the week before the pigs went to slaughter, was probably on max intake. Those pigs were shifting 750 milliliters of water per pig. So we knew that actually if we went for a liter per pig down that water line, so 1,000 liters we wanted to see going down that water line, an hour, we would know that we would have the maximum that those pigs would be requiring. So that's basically a litre a pig. It's a nice, easy way of calculating. If you know that you're getting a litre per pig down the waterline per hour, you know that you're actually giving the right amount of water that those pigs want. And as a result of that, you probably, if you are actually restricting the water flow, you will find that you will lose growth.
And that also links up to what you were saying with the biofilm that you've noticed once you take the pipes apart, because that can also restrict flow rates as well. So it seems like you've got some really quick, easy fixes to get better water amounts to your pigs. Is there any good tips that you could give us, things that you could do to make sure that you are receiving the right amount of water or you are keeping your system clean?
I think the first tip is literally take apart the pipe. Most of our pipes are now plastic, so it's quite easy to take it apart. And just literally pop your little finger in and rub it around and see what comes out. If you've got something in there that's black, or if you've got iron deposits in your line, question why you've got iron deposits. Have you got a filter on your borehole? Does it need servicing? That sort of thing. If you've got bio-blooms, just get in there with cleaner. You don't have to use the cleaner we use, but get in there, sterilize the water lines out. If you've got pigs in there and this problem, actually just leave it running at the drinking rate. And if you speak to the supplier, they should be able to tell you what rate you can put it in that's safe for the pigs to drink. If you've got big pigs, they'll be drinking a lot of water, so you'll be having a lot of product go down there, and it'll gently clean the water line as your pigs are in. But do not underestimate, a dirty water line will cost you money. If you have to medicate and you've got iron in your water line, quite frankly, your meds won't work as well, because the iron will actually react with the medicine that you're putting down the water line. If you have a bio-bloom, you're absolutely correct. It will restrict the water. If you do medicate, what you've got to remember is that the meds have usually got a carrier in the form of sugar. So if you have got algae and other things in your waterline, you'll immediately have a fermentation in there and create a worse bio-bloom. So we as standard put the cleaner in straight after the meds to stop that bio-bloom happening.
Okay. It's certainly something that we found on our strategic farms, which is the header tanks seem to be an area of high contamination. Is this something you have found, and would you recommend cleaning your header tanks at least once a year?
Yes, if you're running a batch system, I'd actually recommend cleaning the header tank between batches, especially if you're actually putting medication in that header tank, if you're still using that system to medicate your pigs. Always keep a top on it. I was amazed how many header tanks I found that had probably not been looked at for 10, 15 years. The piece of wood that was on top had fallen off. Always keep a top on it so that you're stopping dust and other things from entering into the water. And if you can empty it out, if you can pressure wash it down, that is brilliant. And you can use stuff like Vercon or other products that can go in there to actually then give it a proper good clean out as well. If in some cases people, if they're putting things in, might want to pressurize the system. I always say, if you're going to pressurize the system, be brave, cut those header tanks out of line, actually take them right out of the building. You'll improve the airflow. If you take them out of the building, you'll find you'll actually improve your airflow in that building as well by taking them out of line.
Thank you, Mark. It's a really vast subject that we spoke about today. And thank you for your time. We have got a lot of information on the HDB website for anybody that would like to look into this in a bit more detail. We've also got some fact sheets and some videos. A good starting point that we found is looking at your water sampling technique. We have an SOP and a video online to take you through that process, which is a step-by-step guide, how to look at taking the water samples and how to interpret the results. We've also got a number of fact sheets on what to consider when designing a new water system, along with what are the acceptable drinking water parameters, plus lots more. So please go online and take a look at our website.
Visit ahdb.org.uk for all the latest news, research and information. And follow us on Twitter at @theahdb to stay up to date.
With water being such an important part of pig production, it's also one of the areas we're focusing on with our strategic farms. Strategic farms use farmer-to-farmer learning to enable producers to explore best practice and the impact it could have on their business. The activity is part of AHDB's Farm Excellence Programme, which is designed to inspire the industry to improve performance and succeed through knowledge exchange. I recently spoke to Andrew Palmer about some of the work we're doing with one of our strategic farms. So, Andrew, could you tell us a bit about what you've been getting up to over the last few months?
The work we've been doing on strategic farm here, along with the environment and buildings team, one of the main areas of focus has been the water and the water quality. The farm, on paper, was doing a very good job regards to cleaning the water and cleaning the water between batches. But with testing, we're now nearly at the end of our third run of testing. We did find that was potentially the water was clean when the pigs first went in. Through the second lot of testing, I believe it was, we saw the water quality start to deteriorate towards the end of the batch. We've readdressed and rechanged the cleaning regime, which the farm implemented on batch three. And we believe now we've got a more consistent water quality all the way through to the end of the batch. Also, we've found that particularly there's maybe when we was cleaning between the batches, we did some maintenance on the pipe work and the nipples. A lot of the old nipples were not consistently. There was some blocked ones, ineffective ones, not given the correct flow rates. So they were all taken out and cleaned rigorously in buckets and soaked 24 hours, and the water improved with flow rates. But also we did find some problems with a particular header tank in one of the buildings. There was a metering device that's been used for putting medication that we did find quite accidentally was affecting the flow rate of the rest of the building. So we temporarily taken the metering device out and the flow rates have improved, but we still got to go back and redesign that building, because if they need to put this medication device in to put any medication in the future, then we've got to look at how we put it in without affecting the flow rates going forward. Also, a couple of things we found accidentally, the design of the water system regards the pipe work in one of the buildings needs to be looked at, because we've got two dead ends instead of a continual flow all the way around. So as part of our next management meeting, we're going to look at improvements in the design of the water system.
Do you think that improving this water is going to have an impact on productivity? Are you looking for anything to change?
And the farm was growing very well in regards to growth rates, but as with any business, if there's any improvements can be made, especially with the water, which is it's one of the main consistent things a pig will have in all of its life, and not a lot of focus is given to water sometimes. And if we can improve the water quality and improve the growth rates by a few grams or tens of grams a day or a week, then it's going to benefit the business as well.
Could you explain what a shock water treatment or deep clean involves and what producers would need to do if they wanted to clean their water systems?
Shock water clean is we will drain the system completely, and then we will fill the system with some approved product and leave it in for 24 hours at least, or depending on what that product's recommended period is, and then we'll flush it through the lines. And that entails putting simple things like tent pegs on all the nipples so we can drain the whole complete system round, and drain the full pipe, the full tank through the system. What we did on this particular farm is, like we said, we took all the nipples off and put them in buckets and cleaned them as well, because there was build up of historical debris in the back of the nipples there. So we cleaned all them, found some ones that we needed to replace. And also we found there was maybe an area, the two big tanks been used for store water in the pens, even though their outlet pipes were above the baseline of the bottom of the pipe, there was an area that was still in the tank even when the tank was being drained, so it wasn't fully effectively cleaned. So the producer has fitted full dump valves on the bottom of the tank, so the tank is completely empty when we cleaned. We also power washed all the tanks out this time round as a full clean, and that's maybe been one of the big factors that's contributed to the consistency in the water quality through the batch, because that debris or that residue is no longer there after the tank has been emptied. And that's probably a hard thing to do on a lot of farms, because the accessibility of tanks, and they're often high up, and they are health and safety implications, but they've got to be addressed sometimes if you want to get on and clean your water.
Do you think having better water quality is going to improve the mood of the pigs along with their health?
We're hoping so. Like any species, you know, if you get dehydrated, you're going to get a bit cranky, and water is just something not a lot of people give a lot of thought to, and it's a fairly simple thing to keep right once you've got the basics in place.
How would you know what the quality of your water is on farm? Is there anything in particular producers should be bearing in mind if they're looking to do something?
Most farms now, or all farms now, have to have their water tested for the assurance schemes. What we need to get people to understand or recognise is the water, is your water sample at source, is that the same of quality at the point of delivery of the pigs? And that's where your difference is in your system.
Would you say that Strategic Farm A is pleased to have been working with us on this topic?
Well, as far as I know, we've had some real good engagement from the guys on the ground as well. A real enthusiasm, a thirst for knowledge. You know, the guys on the ground are really interested and have really taken it on board, yes.
Thanks, Andrew. That's really great to hear about the work you've been doing with the Strategic Farm. Hopefully we can catch up again in a few months' time. If you'd like to know more about the work we're doing on water or our strategic farms, take a look at our website. Details can be found in the show notes. We're now going to hear from Bethan Wilkins, one of our analysts. Bethan gives a monthly update on pig prices through our Pork Talk videos, which you can find on our YouTube channel. You'll also find a link to this in the show notes. This month, Bethan's going to update us on the outlook for pig prices and feed costs.
Hello and welcome to the March edition of Pork Talk. Pig prices have been under pressure for a number of months now, while feed prices have been high, creating a difficult climate for pig producers. Today, we examine the signs that this situation could ease somewhat in the coming weeks. On our domestic market, supplies are now expected to tighten, following from difficulties with fertility levels during the hot summer last year. It's difficult to tell exactly how much this might affect supplies at a national level. However, slaughter is estimated to be behind year earlier levels in February so far. However, in general, the change in supply level across Europe is a better predictor of British pig prices than UK production alone. Recently, supplies are also reported to be tightening in Europe. This led to a slight uplift in EU pig prices in the week ending the 10th of February, narrowing the gap between UK and EU pig prices slightly. If prices on the continent continue to rise, then the UK might also follow suit. However, at the moment, the gap between UK and EU pig prices is still around 22 pence per kilogram, noticeably larger than the long-term average of 19 pence per kilogram. So import pressure wouldn't necessarily ease quickly. Reports also suggest that demand remains weak across most of the continent, so it may be difficult for prices to rise further unless this situation changes. China's African swine fever situation remains a potential source of optimism for later this year. Looking at input costs now, there have been some positive developments on that front recently. London wheat futures have been moving down, and new crop futures are trading at a significant discount to old crop prices, thanks to forecasted larger global wheat crops in the coming season. With feed prices currently over 60% of the cost of production, Any decline would provide some welcome support to producer margins. Of course, with Brexit approaching, the outlook for the future remains somewhat cloudy. With uncertainty over our future trading relationship with the EU, it's not clear how important EU production levels will be for the British market in the future. Increased trade facilitation costs might provide room for an uplift in pig prices. However, if access conditions for lower cost producers, like the US, advance, prices could come under pressure. There are also other areas of concern, such as a devaluation of the sow market and a reduction in labour availability. HDB recently conducted a webinar discussing a number of the issues that might arise if a no-deal Brexit emerges, which you can find on the Brexit section of the main HDB site via the link below. Otherwise, for more up-to-date information around a range of topics, please visit the Prices and Stats section of the HDB Pork website.
What will happen to food prices as a result of Brexit?
What should I do if I'm employing EU nationals?
And what support is available for my business?
Visit ahdb.org.uk/Brexit
for answers to all these questions and more.
We hope you enjoyed the first AHDB Pork podcast. We'll be releasing new episodes on a regular basis, along with the other sectors at AHDB. If you don't want to miss an episode, make sure you subscribe, and if there are any topics you would particularly like to hear about, get in touch. Look out for the next episode on Tuesday the 19th of March. In this episode, we'll be talking about Brexit and challenges with labour in the horticulture sector.